So I just want to share that the person I'm going to introduce is a graduate of Central Bible College. She is a loving and caring wife and mother and just an awesome person. And, you know, as you guys are getting to know us, you know, we've been here since February. It feels longer. You know, I thought, what an opportunity for you guys to get to know my wife a little bit more on a personal basis and hear from her heart on Mother's Day. So would you guys give a hand for Natalie Potter as she comes forward?
It's a pretty awesome video, isn't it? Definitely made me cry when I first saw it, and I said, I don't know if you could show this, because I don't know if I'll be able to preach afterwards. Because I love it because it shows, you know, being that it's Mother's Day, it shows from a son's perspective what he sees from the time he's a baby to the time he gets older. And, you know, as a mom, you think, you're always told, enjoy those moments because they pass really fast. And you always think, well, they don't feel like it right now, you know, when they're little and they're driving you crazy and you're getting frustrated. But, you know, I watch that video and I'm like, oh man, I'm going to be old and gray one day and have to look back and see how my kids are doing. And God, I hope I do a good job, you know? And I think as parents, we all hope that and we all strive and pray and are persistent in seeking that for our lives. And today I know it's Mother's Day and you typically hear a Mother's Day sermon, but I also want to encourage you, if you're not a mom, if you're a dad, or you're just somebody that, you know, hasn't met that somebody yet, you know, I want to encourage you that this isn't just a message for moms. And I don't want to just sound cliche, as a typical preacher may sound on a Mother's Day morning, but this is a message for anyone, because the message I'm going to preach on today is something that Paul prays. And as we know, Paul was not a dad. He didn't have children. He didn't have a wife, but he was somebody that had spiritual children. And he was a great minister of the Lord. And it was because of him that we have these scriptures to look to today. And today, the title of my sermon is A Mom's Wish List, A Journey of Motherhood. So this message is a message for moms, but it also could be a message for moms that as well, and for other people as well today. As a mother, I want my children to learn, I want my children to grow, and there are times where we get frustrated, and we get, you know, sometimes a little too angry because they get selfish and they want what they want and they want it now. But then they have their moments where they fall and they get hurt, and we're there to pick them up. We're there to comfort them in their time of need. You know, we're there to comfort them when they need that reassurance, when they're going through hard times. We're able to be there for them. You know, whether you're a leader or a mom or a dad, you're there to comfort those that need you at that moment. You know, as we get older, sometimes that's not always easy to comfort those, because we go through difficulties and sometimes it's easy just to be quiet and not say anything. Or, you know what, I'll just send a Hallmark card, you know, and it will say it all for me. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I sent my mom a card. But sometimes we lose that appreciation. We lose that art of appreciation that we need to have sometimes, that people need to hear in our lives. And, you know, if you haven't called your mom yet, or even your dad, call them today and tell them how much you appreciate them, how much you love them, and how much they did for you. We need to give honor where honor is due. And today I want to share with you a story about two praying mothers. I did a little research on Billy Sunday, and what an awesome guy he was. I mean, just had such a strength and such a fiery preacher, I'm sure. But one thing I didn't know about Billy Sunday was he was very shy. He was a shy person, which I didn't know, realize that. And I was like, well, that's good because I'm a pretty shy person. So I'm not about to get up behind a pulpit. But Billy Sunday one day was making calls, and he came to a certain home and asked for the mother. But the child that opened the door said, "You cannot see mother, for she prays from 9 to 10. So he waited 40 minutes to see this mother. And when she came out of her prayer closet, the light of glory was on her face, and he knew why that home was so bright. He knew why her two sons were in ministry and her daughter is a missionary. All hell cannot tear a boy or a girl away from a praying mother," comments Mr. Sunday. And Susanna Wesley, with 17 children, spent 1 hour each day shut up with God alone in her room praying for them. And her two sons under God brought revival to England. Wow. That story still amazes me. And it makes me strive definitely to pray more for my children, to pray for those other believers that need our prayer. This morning I want to honor mothers who are fighting a battle every day, whether it's a prayerful battle that you're going through in your life, where you have family that maybe isn't talking to you, or whether, you know, you're a mom at home even, and you have to get up every morning and take care of that little one that wants what they want, and sometimes you have to give them that, and sometimes you just can't. We want to say that the time that we spend as parents, as believers, as leaders, that the time we have invested has produced something of value. You see, the Apostle Paul prays this prayer found in Colossians 1, verse 9 through 18. And if you want to go with me to Colossians 1, verse 9 through 18. And when he prays this prayer, he's praying it to these new believers, to his spiritual children. And I just thought, wow, this verse is so awesome for this morning. And I know it doesn't talk about moms or a mom in the Bible, but what an awesome verse, not only to relate with moms today, but to relate with all of us. Something that we should be praying, just like Paul was praying. So Colossians 1, verse 9 through 18. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, you have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God and being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sins. He is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. What an awesome, awesome verse. And I think, too, it relates with the worship songs we heard today. How awesome it was. Almost every song we sang hit my points that I'm going to make today with this scripture. So my first point today is we want to see our kids grow. As a mom, we desire our children to grow and become more intelligent, don't we? But it's not always about being smart. We want them to understand what life is really about. We want them to begin to get their own long-term vision, right? We want them to have God's vision in their life, what God has planned for them as well. Convictions are the values you live by, something you won't give up for peer pressure. And that is something, you know, our kids face day to day. Whether you're in school, whether you're at work, you can face peer pressure. You can even face peer pressure going to a grocery store and having a bunch of screaming children, and everybody is staring at you, judging you, and telling you, I don't think they're a good parent because their child's screaming. But we deal with that day to day, the pressures of life. But character is being right. Conviction is having the fortitude to choose right. You know, and if I'm in the grocery store, I could choose to look at that person and yell at them for giving me a dirty look, you know, for my child screaming. But you know what? I have to choose to do what's right. I have to choose to not yell at them, to not get in their face because I feel like they may have judged me. But I have to choose to do what's right. And these convictions we follow need to be modeled, not just with our children, but in everyday life, right? They were more caught than taught. How often do we see that as parents, as leaders? How often do we see things caught and not always taught? I have an example of this. When Arabella was 18 months old, I was sitting on the couch and I was reading my Bible. And she comes up to me, you know, as 18-month-olds do, you know, pick me up, pick me up. And I'm like, no, Arabella, mommy's reading her Bible. So instead of whining, she goes around the bend, goes and picks up her Bible, and comes sits right next to me. Now, how do you teach an 18-month-old to read her Bible? You know, that was something that she caught without me having to say anything or teach her anything. Pretty awesome. And I also wanted to share with you today a story about my mom. I wanted to honor her today because she has modeled for me such her convictions, her Christian perspectives on life and just what she has gone through. You see, when I was very young, and I was pretty young. She had a bug bite on her leg. And one day after church, this is how she told me the story, she slipped and fell, and the heel of her shoe hit that bug bite. And that bug bite became an open wound. And this open wound would become a thorn in her side, as Paul says in the scripture. My dad has often sung that song. You know, when does the thorn become a blessing? Although, you know, she still suffers with this wound, she amazes me because she does not relent. She continues to say, God is going to heal me. She's had this wound for years, and I've never seen her falter with that. We've even gone to see doctor after doctor after doctor, and they've all been baffled. You know, they've tried to help her. They've tried to, you know, give her the medicine she needs, and still it's there. But we serve an awesome God. And he gives us the strength to get through each and every day. And he gives her that strength that she needs. She even had, before we came here to Mitchell, she even had a close-to-death experience. And, you know, as a child, it's very scary to watch that, to watch your mother go through that suffering and that difficulty and not sure if she's going to make it. But I'm just amazed at how strong she is. I was just talking to her on the phone yesterday, and she said, you know, I was working at the shop because she's a hairdresser, and I was doing everything I was supposed to, you know, putting my legs up, and I usually am okay, and I can get through the day doing hair. But I had this extreme pain yesterday, and I couldn't understand it. And I just had Dad come over, and he anointed me with oil, and he prayed for me, and suddenly that pain just went away. And I was like, wow, she doesn't even know I'm going to be preaching about her circumstance, you know? It gives you kind of a window into the spiritual, maybe, of what was happening there. And this, I want to get to my next point. My next point is, we want to see our kids have great relationships. We not only want to have great relationships with our parents, right? We want to see them have, we want to have great relationships when they're children, but when they're adults as well, which sometimes isn't always easy because you still see them as that little two-year-old running around. But most of all, we want to see them have a great relationship with the Lord. And we need to model that, right? That's something that's so important. And we desire our kids to have that relationship with the Lord. And we can show that. And we can be an example through what? Through gentleness, through love, through joy, through peace, through patience, through kindness, through self-control sometimes, right? These are our values, these are our convictions, and out of great relationship with God, we produce other great relationships. Because we are treating others, whether it's our children, our friends, our family, our spouses, with the same love Jesus gives us. And that's not always easy, is it? You know, there are little pet peeves. We wake up in the morning and, hey, honey, you didn't squeeze the toothpaste all the way up. You know, and we still got to show them the love of God, you know, and that's not always easy. Or your kid wakes up and they're screaming and crying. They're like, what's going on? I don't understand this. But we still got to love them. And sometimes I have to check myself, you know, because you just want to frantically say something and oops, I shouldn't have said that. I should have held my tongue. Self-control. You know, my third point is we want our kids to know this is not a popularity contest. You know, in life, when you go to school, it seems to be that, doesn't it? You know, it's always like, who's the coolest? I want to hang out with them. But in this Christian life, I'm so thankful it is not about that. You know, sometimes Christians can make it out to be that, unfortunately. I've seen that one too many times. But thankfully, our God is not like that. It is not about performance. And you know, our kids, our students, whatever they may be to you, they have their own gifts, their own talents, their own abilities that God has given them. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus gives us the strength to get through these times and to help them develop those talents, help them understand those talents. And we got to help them know who they are so that when that peer pressure comes, they can stand strong. They can say, you know what, I'm not going to perform for you. I'm not going to do this or that to get you to accept me because I know who I am. I know who I am in the Lord, and I'm going to stand strong under peer pressure. You know, God will give us the strength through sometimes sleepless nights as a parent. And, you know, you can have those sleepless nights when they're a newborn. You can have those sleepless nights when they're a teenager and they're driving and you're unsure what's going to happen. But I believe God is the one that will give us the strength. He's the one that will give us the patience to get through each day. I believe that it is Christ who gives me the strength to be that all I can be in my family and ultimately for Him. And as I model this, I pray that my children will catch it. You know, my mom, she modeled this for me as I was growing. You know, I would wake up sometimes in the middle of the night and I would hear her crying in the other room. And, as a child, you don't understand, but why is mommy crying, you know? And sometimes when you're little, you can just say, oh, I pray for you, mommy, and that's it. But when you get older and you get to be a teenager, you're like, okay, God, what's going on? And I was serving the Lord at the time, and I remember one night she was crying out to God, and I just was like, God, I'm not going in there. I am not going to go pray for my mom, because I am just tired of this. I'm tired of seeing her in pain. I'm tired of these sleepless nights where she is just in pain. And God just struck my heart, and I just began to pray for her even in my bed. Because I just started talking to him, and I said, God, I'm like, why won't you heal her right now? Why won't you bring this healing? Why does this have to be such a thorn in the side? And I just said, Jesus, do you remember that pain you felt on the cross? Do you remember that hurt you felt on the cross? I said, my mom is going through pain right now. Would you just take it away? Would you just relieve her? And you know what was so neat about that night? She woke up the next morning and she said to me, you know, I don't understand it, but my leg suddenly went numb. And I could go to sleep. And I was like, wow, God, you're so awesome. Because even though he hasn't completely healed her, even though he hasn't made her completely whole, there's a reason, there's a purpose. God has this happening. And you know, as I look back as a child, I can say, wow, she has been such a mentor for me, such an example of the strength of the Lord, such an example of I'm going to have faith in God no matter what happens. And sometimes that's not easy as Christians. Sometimes it's not easy to have faith in the midst of pain, but from day to day, she still tells me, I'm believing God. She is persistent. And that's what we need to be. We need to be persistent, and we need to show our kids that persistence, which brings me to my fourth point. We want our kids to be persistent. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. James 5, verse 16. As I have shared, my mom is a tough woman. She doesn't give up easily. She believes God even when she faces her frailties. She has modeled for years inner strength and endurance, as this prayer talks about. My mom, in some areas, she's not always patient. But in other areas, I have seen years of patience and joy when others in her situation would act rotten and complainative. I know it comes from the truth in this prayer. And this is why I love this prayer, because I can see how God has intervened in my mom's life. Growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully give thanks to the Father. And that's where she finds her strength. That's where I think Paul found his strength. Being chained, being beaten, he found his strength in the Lord. And whether you're a parent or whether you're just a Christian or a leader or whatever you may do, you can have this strength as well. You know, there's not easy times, but his presence can come in like a flood. And comfort. My fifth point is, we want our kids to know that their Father God has qualified them. You know, when you play sports and you go to tryouts, only the best of the best get to the higher level. But thankfully, this is not so with God. He qualifies us for his inner inheritance and for his kingdom of light, because he has rescued us from darkness through his son he loves. I love that this prayer points out, you know, the Father-Son relationship of Jesus and God. And it shows that Jesus the Son acts like God the Father, and he lifts him up. What an example Jesus is to us of how we should be to our fathers, our mothers, right? Which brings me to my last point. We want our kids to know Jesus, because knowing Jesus is the heart of it all. Because when our kids know Jesus, they'll know how to treat us, right? They'll know us how to honor their father and mother. He is the image of the invisible God. Jesus puts a face to the name above all names. I want my kids to know that he created all things beautiful, what you can see and what you can't see. Our cells, our dynamic structure, our air composition. He was here before, and he holds everything together. Jesus is our source. Jesus is our leader. He is the one who gave us the ability to rise from the dead and have heavenly bodies one day. He is the leader of all. And as a mom, I want my kids to know that Jesus is that leader. I might not always be the best leader, but I know that the Lord is the leader. He saved us from despair. He has given us purpose and destiny. And we have the privilege of seeing, I had the privilege of seeing that heart in my mom. I have the privilege of seeing her do things that sometimes she didn't always want to do day to day. You know, she knew she had to get up and go to work and do her things. And it was hard, but she did it day to day, because she knew that her healing was coming, and it's still coming. You know, my mom, she's seen me grow. She's seen me have the relationship I have with John, and she's very proud of the way me and John are living our lives. She wasn't always happy when I told her about South Dakota. You know, she didn't want us to go. She was, trying to talk me out of it and giving me a reason to come back to New York. And I said, you know, Mom, I just got straight with her one day on the phone. And I said, you know, Mom, I said, this life isn't about me. This life is about God. And if I cannot do what I'm supposed to do for the Lord, if I cannot be obedient to him, then what did this life matter? You know? And that's why we were persistent. That's why we sought the Lord for this position. Because we knew that God was leading, and we knew we needed God to be the author of our lives. And you know, that wasn't easy for my mom to hear, but she has been such a support to me since I've moved here. And she's been such a help. And she'll still call up and say, hey, I need your prayers today, you know, and I'll pray for her and what's going on in her life. And it's awesome that we're able to still have such a close relationship. And as, you know, moms or dads or spiritual leaders, we want to leave that legacy. We want to do something awesome for God. You know, Sarah and Tim just sharing with me some of the stuff that they want to do in their life for the Lord. And I'm just like, wow, you really want to do that? And I remember at CBC going to a missions class, and some of the things missionaries would do, I thought, I could never do that. I could never do that. Oh, God, you know? And I'm just amazed that God gives us such a strength, such a boldness to do things, you know? And sometimes it is not easy to step forward and do that. It takes study. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes convincing people sometimes and constantly bugging them. But when we are persistent, we will get what the Lord wants. Not always what we want, but what the Lord wants. And it's important to leave that legacy Joel 1:3 says, tell your children of it. Let your children tell their children and their children another generation. Isn't that what the gospel is all about? Not just our children, but those that are out there that don't know Jesus. It's about telling them so that they'll tell others and tell others and tell others. And it's to be a joy, not a burden, but a joy and excitement in sharing Jesus. So let's leave that legacy. It's a step at a time. It's a growing process. And I'm so glad I get to have Arabella and Dylan and Gabby through that process. Let's leave a prayerful legacy, as Paul prays in Colossians. A legacy of growth, a legacy of unity, a legacy of persistence, and a relationship with our Lord Jesus. You know, I just want to share a little story with you guys before we end. Just a story about persistence. And I called up, I'm also a licensed hairdresser for New York, and I called up the cosmetology committee for South Dakota, and I called them up, and I was talking to them about my experience and what it would take to get my license, and it seemed impossible. What they were telling me was like, it would never happen. And I was like, I started crying on the phone. I was like, are you kidding me? You know, because, I mean, we're talking since I was 16, I've been working in a hair salon on and off again a little bit, you know, because I did go to CBC. But I was so upset, and I thought, God, you know what? If you want me to give this up, if you want to say, Natalie, it's time to let this go and do ministry, I will do that. I will focus all my efforts on ministry and my children and what I need to do. But God, if you could make this impossible situation possible, I would be so grateful. And so I my mom encouraged me, just keep calling. You'll get somebody else to talk to, maybe. And maybe that somebody will have compassion on you and tell you something else to do. So I was like, okay. So I called back, and I was able to talk to the supervisor, and she was able to tell me, you got to write a letter to the committee, and you got to tell them what it is, what experience you have, give them your little history, but ask them permission. I was like, okay. So I was just putting this letter together, and I was like, God, this letter, I just don't know if this is even worth it. You know, and I just was ready to give up. And the Lord brought me to the scripture in Matthew where the Canaanite woman is being persistent. She is irritating the disciples and irritating Jesus. And she's just saying, Lord, please help me. Lord, please help me. Lord, please help me, over and over and over again. And Jesus is saying, I'm here for Israel, not for you. You know, and she said, but, you know, and eventually it got to where she says, well, even the dogs eat the crumbs off the table. I don't know if you remember that scripture. But I was like, that scripture always drives me crazy because I never know what's going on. So that morning I was like, John, I'm like, you're like, you know, a commentary in person. Tell me what this scripture means. And he was like, it basically is talking about persistence. Because that Canaanite woman, she was persistent. She did not give up. And Jesus granted what she asked. And John was like, God's telling you to be persistent. And I was so thankful that I was, because the lady called me this week, and I think it was this week, and said, you're going to be able to get your license. And I was just like, wow, it's so great, you know, being persistent and seeking the Lord and, you know, ultimately desiring what he wants will get us through And sometimes it's not easy to be persistent as a mom or a dad or a leader. It's not easy. But God will give us the strength to move. God will give us the strength to step forward and do what we're supposed to do for his glory. So what I wanted to do to end is I wanted to have the ladies come up and just, whether you're a mom or not, I wanted all the ladies to come up and just stand up here. And I wanted the husbands to come behind them and just put their hands on them. And I want to pray together as a body of believers for our ladies today, since it is Mother's Day. So if you girls don't mind coming up and whatever way have the husbands, I just wanted you to come lay your hands on your wives, or you can come up too. So I'm going to pray, but I also guys want you to pray for your wives and for your friends as well. Just that God would guide us and lead us as women of the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are, that you love us so much, God, that you sent your one and only Son to save us, to deliver us. God, you set us free to be able to do things that we are not always able to do, Lord. Lord, you give us abilities. God, you give us talents. And I just pray that we would just grow and learn and develop those talents, Lord, for your glory, for your honor. Jesus, that you would help us to be the parent, the spiritual leader that we are supposed to be in life. God, that you would lead us and direct us in the path that we are to go day to day. Give us strength when we face peer pressure. Give us strength when we face difficulties in life, God, to overcome, to claim your promises, God. God, help us to be persistent in prayer, because the prayer of a righteous man avails much, God. God, thank you for this day where we get to honor moms. Thank you, God, that we have that freedom, God, that we are able to live in this world, God, and honor our mothers. Thank you, God, for our mothers. Bless them today as they go about their day, Lord. Give them strength. Bring your healing touch, O Lord, into the lives of these women here today, Lord. Bless them in all that they do this day, that they may feel your presence throughout the day, Lord. Feel your guidance, feel your direction in all that they do. We thank you, Jesus, so much that you are our leader. We thank you, Jesus, that through you we can leave an awesome legacy. And we ask all these things in your blessed name. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen.